Welcome to our second revenue cycle coffee chat. This time we were going to talk a little bit more about the AI side of things, and specifically a phenomenon that we've been seeing with prospects more and more over the past few years, and that is this need to run through an extra layer of security, due diligence, governance within the hospital settings, and that is an AI governance review of sorts. Some are more or less onerous, and all of them seem to be tacked on to an already pretty intense governance review, risk assessment, software assessment that most SaaS and software companies have to go through before they get a contract, but this AI governance seems to be yet another added layer on top of an already very rigorous process. So Tony, Pam, do you want to share with us what you're seeing in the market?
Chat a little bit, and then maybe Pam, you can fill in some stuff that you're seeing too. But I think what, you know, when we started, we go back now like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when SaaS, software as a service, was a thing, that's when you saw a big push for more robust vendor due diligence and cyber risk, right? That was the thing that's happened, because our data, we now have integrations into our systems, or we have access to data that's in our systems, it's out in the cloud. People can potentially hack into that, they can share it. So there's was a lot of work done to protect the data and protect the access and do all those things to ensure that even though we're logging into a remote cloud-based application, it's as if it was on-prem. And we're trying to lock it down the same we would be able to do in an on-prem application. So now you kind of enter AI, this concept of AI, into the discussion. And I think it's overwhelmed a lot of people because they don't really know what to do with it, right? Is AI a technology thing that you have to consider more? Is it a policy thing that you need to think about from an HR perspective? Is it a, from, you know, data governance to talk about, but is it something that's procedurally going to be changing the way the business functions? So operational efficiency thing. So there's kind of all these things that AI is supposed to be able to solve or tries to solve. But in the end, it really is just another SaaS tool. It's just software as a service that has some type of automation running in the background, solving the problems. So I think when what we started seeing with health systems in particular hospitals was that they needed to figure out, there's so much noise around AI. They needed to figure out how to isolate it, figure out how to build policies around it, how to manage it. But there's a lot of confusion because what we'll see sometimes is that, for example, the AI governance committee will be all surgeons, right? And they don't quite know where those connections are back into IT, or connections are into the cloud, or connections into technology, or human resource type related things. So anyway, what I've seen is the attempt to try to solve the conundrum of all the noise of AI is just to add another layer of people staring at it. And it's created some confusion, right? And what do we actually do? And how do we treat this thing? And how do we actually validate what it's going to mean to us? And it creates redundancy too. So that's what I've kind of seen, what I've been thinking about.
Tony, I agree with you. I think that, first of all, I think the whole world is just afraid of AI, right? Like, people are scared that it's going to replace people, that it's going to do things that we don't know it's doing. And and so that part of it, you know, just the vagueness of it, I think presents like an alarm for health systems, especially when we have like licenses on the line, provider licenses on the line. I know the health systems are always, you know, like talking about liability, and when we're implementing AI, like who is actually going to be liable for the decision making and things like that. And probably not in a coding tool, but more, you know, on the provider side, I see like that fear factor of what AI really means. I think that I've been selling SaaS software into health systems for the better part of 15 years. It's always a complicated process, to your point, Tony. There's always a rigorous assessment. We're doing security assessments. You have to have SOC 1, SOC 2. You have to prove that, you know, the data's safe. We're doing exchange of data. There's no PHI, all of that. Nothing's changed, right? We're another SaaS platform with an AI component. I think every SaaS platform probably has an AI component now. So, right? So, I mean, as we go to these data governance boards and we do these security assessments, aren't we doing all of that? I don't know. Maybe it'll smooth out in the next year or so. I hope, because there is a lot of redundancy. We're going through these assessments. There's proving that, you know, their security is, you know, good, and that this isn't going to hurt anything and it's not going to break anything. And the next thing you know, they're going through another board, and it's just kind of like a waiting. It just makes things harder to implement. It's hard on our side to get things rolling, but it's hard on the health side to get things approved and rolling. So just another, I think, chink in the process. And will they figure it out, or will everyone figure it out once it settles down a little bit, when everyone realizes that AI is kind of,
it's just SaaS all over again. Right?
Yeah.
And I think what happens too is it starts off with, because there's so much bombardment around AI, with AI for accounting, AI for coding, AI for, you know, their customer service and call center, it's AI for everything, right? And it's just overwhelming. Because now that's what everybody is coming and talking about, is that they can offer you a service, like you said, Pam. It's a SaaS platform or a SaaS tool that has an AI component to it, and it's just overwhelming. Because I can imagine on the IT department side, they have to now think about, well, depending on what system has access to what thing and what the AI is doing, this is an autonomous engine that's kind of running on its own. What is it going to start to do with our data, and where is our data going to go? And there's not humans on the other side. It's machines. It's the robots doing their thing. And what type of controls do we have to put in place on the robots? Because unlike a human that can understand policy or understand things, it's going to be something that's in the AI learning model, or what the AI was trained on, that if it makes that mistake once, it's just going to keep making it until somebody catches it. And then figures out how to correct it. And so that, to me, that makes sense. And I always think about, you know, fundamentally where the AI governance committees make sense is filtering out what do they actually want autonomous coding to solve for them, or autonomous or AI kind of autonomous processes, artificial intelligence. What is it that they actually believe they have to really solve with it? And what are the things that they don't need to use that type of a platform to bring into their organization? So it's thinking about, where are the real holes in operational efficiency overall? Where can automation really solve genuine problems, as opposed to just being a cool thing to try? And then writing policy around that starts making sense for people, resources, and then ultimately data. But I think what has kind of been confused is that it's looked at from the IT side as it's just another hole that we could lose data through, right? And that in itself can be challenging, you know, in how you help them understand that you're already going to be vetted through a vendor risk policy. We're already going to do a BAA. You're already going to look at our SOC 2. We're already going to look at all of our cyber risk. All of that is going to be the process, the same process you would use to govern the AI component. It's not like you need to build something else or create something else. You already have those tools in place. That's what you need to use to manage the IT side of it, right? It's more policy. So, yeah.
I think that's interesting on the sales side, how AI governance is coming into things. I think on the post-sale side, what's interesting about this additional AI governance layer is what we're seeing on the customer success and the onboarding and implementation side is that actually the teams that are being brought in post-sale that haven't gone through the whole sales cycle then hear AI, because the AI governance board was involved in the sales process, and they expect that everything is just gonna work, get set up, and everything will just be automatic, and there will be this like switch that just gets flipped, and then coding automation will happen. And what's unique, I think, about Milagro and the way we approach this is we are still, yes, we have AI, yes, we leverage that to get things coded faster, but the human in the loop element and the logic and learning component that goes into training our system to learn the specific enterprise and coding process of the hospital where we are working is still something that requires that attention from the teams in the post-sale onboarding period.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So that's been an interesting, right? I think the teams that get involved post-sale are used to, oh yeah, of course you had to go through, you know, IT governance, or, oh yeah, of course there was a cyber risk. None of that stuff impacts us as a coders or as revenue cycle leaders. But once they hear that AI, to your point, Tony, that you made earlier, once they hear AI is in the loop, yes, then there's this assumption of like, oh yeah,
now
of course.
Yep. That's right. It'll just happen. Scares them, I think, right? It's like, it's going to just do all these things automatically. We're going to lose control of things. And that's definitely not the case. And I think the other part of your point is that that has to be thought about is that when AI is in place, I feel like there's a little bit of forgetting that, you know, there are, you do need to follow the data and IT and cyber policies, because there, it isn't a magic black box that's just going to take care of everything. It has to be governed from the IT standpoint. It has to be monitored. You have to pay attention to what it's doing. Because they're definitely as the robots start to take over, right? This is the kind of the argument that humans will never be out of the loop. I think the sales thing and the kind of the marketing and the that angle about what AI is going to do, and it's taking jobs and it's going to be taking over, it's going to be replacing functions. It's going to be replacing service lines and particular things, but it's only going to change the dynamic of what types of humans in the loop you need and what you need those humans doing and where you need them involved. It's not going to eliminate them. It's going to eliminate a particular role, but that person could be doing something else, or, you know, the organization that's implementing AI is now going to start hiring different type of people doing different types of things, but you're not going to get rid of people. It's just not remotely possible to say this AI is going to be a silver bullet and, you know, it's a headcount thing. I think that's a concern for a lot of health systems is, you know, they don't want to, if they can avoid it, they really don't want to reduce the staff or get rid of people. They want to create efficiency. They want to get more out of the staff that they have is actually what they want to do. And that's where, you know, things like what we're doing at Milagro with the autonomous coding and the mismatch denials prevention, we can bring a lot of value to an existing organization, the existing staff, without having to, you know, worry about what's going to happen to them or having to continue to staff up. They can actually maintain staff and get a lot of value out of that.
So one of the things that we were just talking about with one of our customers was, you know, one of the things that we, I think, try to solve for once we are implemented within a customer environment is to reduce the time that it takes to get a procedure coded and then sent to the payer. And when it's really just human coders in the loop, then the delays are 3 to 5 to 7 days from date of service and the procedure to when those cases can be dealt with. And that's just because of, you know, sheer hours in the day, the complexity of the coding that goes into it. And when you put Milagro in that loop, those delays and that gap between date of service and procedure and the date in which the procedure and that case is processed and coded shrinks dramatically. And so to your point, Tony, right, the coders can then focus on the more complicated cases. The coders can focus on those cases that have some sort of complexity or mismatch or specifics for pathology, anesthesiology, any other forms of documentation that is still being waited for. And the bread and butter, right, those cases that come in that are done every day, multiple times a day, can be taken care of in a way that just reduces the noise and the overhead for the hospital or the ambulatory center. And that's, I think, where really the value comes in. And hopefully that thread of AI from prospect, sales process, onboarding, implementation can really pull through to say, like, here is the value that we bring with the AI that we've brought into your system.
Yeah, to create that efficiency. I think, Anna, that you bring up a good point about the post-sale part, because I think that it's important that we as an organization, just really in general working in healthcare, that we're from start to finish, we're telling the customer the same thing and we're doing the same thing, right? So we try to do that in the sales process, because it is a scary thing to talk about. People get scared they're going to lose jobs. This is going to replace me, right? So we're having these conversations and trying to alleviate fear, show how it's going to improve things, improve their actual role, or maybe even get them a better role. It's not eliminating. It's always going to have a human in the loop. Actually, CMS guidelines require that coders, like human coders, be there. That's just their policy. So we're never going to eliminate human coders. But so starting with that initial conversation and letting people know that and alleviating that fear, and then trying to show that efficiency that you just spoke of, it's going to shorten the gap. It's going to take care of backlogs and things like that. It's going to let your really good, let you retain your really good coders to do the complex cases. We start saying that and building that at the beginning. And then as we bring them on and you onboard them, you know, then maybe there are some people that still weren't in that process that are still unclear because they're scared of AI. So then you're still doing the teaching and the training on that back end. But we're all, you know, we're all saying the same thing, and we're all trying to guide them in the same way so that we're alleviating fear and we're showing, you know, that we can create efficiencies, and then we're letting their teams kind of reorg for that to happen.
Yep. Agreed. I think if we were to kind of flip the script and put ourselves in the shoes or the seats of the healthcare system themselves, right, as they're going through a process of what do they do for AI, again, because it's all over the place. Like every angle of their business is being approached by somebody that wants to implement AI somewhere. So I think if we were to give a health system some advice or some guidance, is yes, you do need to have it. You have to decide, though, does the committee have advisory position or they actually have authority? You have to make that decision. Like, can they stop something from happening?
Right.
Or are they just going to make advisory points on what they think should or shouldn't be included in the AI, how it's governed? And then they've got to decide if it's a healthcare system, you know, this is the thing. Is it the clinical AI? Or is it all of it? Because it can be, it's just never ending, right? This is the thing of what is the AI governance committee actually going to focus on? Because if you're focused on everything, you're focused on nothing. So what is the focus of the AI committee, right? And then there's kind of the mix of people that sit. What I've seen a couple of times is that it's just, for example, surgeons. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't really make sense, right? Because I have a technical background, I have this background, but they're all surgeons, they're all doctors, right? That's what they do 9 to 5. And so you really have to get the right cross-functional representation to sit in that committee based on how important or what's going to happen. Is it going to be clinical AI only or AI for everything? Depending on how that comes out, who sits on that committee? What authority do they have? Can they actually stop things, or do they just make recommendations? And then from there, how do they engage the other teams in the organization so that it's not just a set and forget, like we've been talking about, where we're going to buy in it, we're going to implement AI over here, we're going to implement AI over there, outside of our existing data governance policy. First, go back to your existing policies already. What's already there? Don't recreate the wheel. once you find what's missing, then figure out how to implement those pieces that are missing and can be constructive to moving things along and bringing value to the organization, all of that stuff. So I think if that's what I would say is, if you're really going to go down the road of AI, which they all are, you probably should have an AI governance committee, but you've got to be really clear on what their role is, what the mix of the group is, how you think about the whole organization or specific functions in the organization, which ones take priority. And right. From there, then you can focus the team on making good decisions. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're just never going to get anywhere. Instead of actually creating efficiency and trying to implement technologies that can probably really help the health system, the opposite's going to happen. They're going to have stuff stuck in committee forever.
And then you're going to have lawyers.
Right. And it's not from the selling side as a vendor, right?
No, but
it's more about these health systems do need to automate. They do need the help. They are having staffing issues. They do need a better call center. They have to, like, these are all real problems. Mm-hmm. And if your AI governance committee isn't set to be efficient and effective, you're going to really just slam the brakes on everything and go backwards. So at least my thinking of, if I was in their shoes, that's what I would think about, you know?